Thank you. You may be seated. Take your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 33, if you will. Deuteronomy chapter 33. And you might get you a piece of paper or something because I want you to stick it in there in Deuteronomy chapter 33 because we're going to be coming back, okay? We'll be coming back several times to this chapter and we'll go other places in the scripture. So fix it where you can do that. Man, it's summer. It's hot. You folks are here. I just think tonight I'm going to do my best to encourage you. Just to be a blessing. Not going to chew you out. Going to try to help you, though, all right? Going to try our best to help you. So look there, if you will, in Deuteronomy 33, verse 26. We begin reading. The Bible says, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms, and he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee, and shall say, Destroy them. Israel then shall dwell in safety alone. The fountains of Jacob shall be upon a land of corn and wine. Also his heavens shall drop down dew. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency. And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places." What a wonderful thing to say to these folks. Moses in this chapter is blessing the tribes of the children of Israel shortly before his death. And that's what's going on in this chapter. God used Moses in a mighty, mighty way, and he directed Moses in the blessing that he proclaimed upon each tribe. But it's when we get down there to verse 26 that Moses begins to brag on God. Boy, I think that's something all of us ought to do every now and then, you know? If he opens the door, we ought to be willing to step in and just brag on him. We don't do enough of that. We don't tell people enough how good he is, how great he is. But in doing it, he points out to the nation of how blessed they are to have the God that they have. And he points that out to them. And I'll remind you, that's the same God that I serve today. And I believe same God you serve, all right? And what a blessing it is. And I want you to notice there in verse 29 what he says. Happy art thou, O Israel. Happy art thou. Now, Israel wasn't always happy. Boy, they could be some of the gripingest, bellyachingest, complaining people you ever been around in your life. They had grumbling down to a science, all right? They were absolute masters at it, good at it. And boy, I don't know why, but it seems like there's some like that in every church, nearly. And you find people that are always looking for something to grumble about, all right? But the nation of Israel truly should have been made up of happy people. And I believe tonight, there's one thing we ought to be. We ought to be happy people. So, well, preacher, I'm going through a problem. Even in the midst of your problem, you can be happy. I believe that, okay? I believe we can be happy people. I believe this building ought to be filled with happy people. When we come, we ought to come in order to be a parent. We're happy. We shouldn't come in. If you come in kind of with a mully grubs or whatever that is, I've heard of it spoken of. But if you come that way, other happy people ought to be able to help you out of that. They ought to be able to help us out of that. And I'll say this to you, if you're not happy, it's not God's fault. It is not God's fault. So let me look at just a few things tonight, all right? First of all, I want you to see this. We ought to be happy people because we're saved people. We're saved. Notice what it says. O people saved by the Lord. Hey, we've been saved. We've been born again. Man, you just, you can't be saved if you're not saved by the Lord, all right? The only way to get saved, the only way to be saved by Him. And so we're saved. And you just stop and think about that. That means we're saved, first of all, and big thing, we're saved from hell. We don't ever have to worry about going to hell. We just don't have to worry about that. You don't have to go to bed at night worrying that possibly you might be cast into hell. You don't have to worry about it. You're born again. That's taken care of. That's out of the picture, never to be worried about at all. But it goes beyond that, okay? We're saved not only from hell, but I want you to understand this. Biblically, we're saved from the fetters of sin. The Israelites had spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. But before that, they had been in bondage in Egypt. All right? They had been in bondage. They knew what it was to be in fetters, all right? They knew what it was to be not a free people. But God delivered them from that. And I want to point out to you, if you're saved tonight, you don't have to serve sin anymore. You do not have to serve sin anymore. Now, I could say stick something here but in your Bible, but let's go to Romans chapter 6. We'll read some verses, all right? Romans chapter 6, and if you're not happy, I hope you'll get happy, all right? Romans chapter 6, if you will, look down in verse 6. What a wonderful thing this is, knowing this. I like that word, knowing. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Folks, now that's written to people like us. It's written to people in the New Testament church. It's written here to the folks in the church at Rome. And the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of God, said that henceforth we should not serve sin. We do not have to sin and serve sin anymore in our life. We no longer need to be a slave to the flesh with its lustful appetites. He said, now, wait a minute, preacher. Boy, I've heard you preach so many times. We still have this body of flesh. We sure do. You don't have to serve sin. You do not have to do it. We have a choice. You're still there in Romans 6? Look at verse 11. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. Hey, something happened when you got saved, okay? When you got saved, we're not under that law. We don't have to worry about it. We're under grace. We're living in the day of grace, and we don't have to yield. Notice that word yield. Yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. We don't have to do that. You say, well, we can't be perfect. Nobody can be perfect. That's right. Well, that's not what I'm talking about. I said you don't have to serve sin anymore. You don't have to be bound by it. You don't have to be bound by it. Can you slip up and sin? Yes. But you don't have to be bound by it. You don't have to live in it. It's our problem. It comes up there, the verse 11. Reckon also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin. Now, some of our trouble is our reckoning, all right? We don't get ourselves reckoned to be dead unto sin and alive unto the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you sin, hey, the good thing, you don't have to be bound. You don't have to keep going. You don't have to do it. Doesn't have to keep carrying that way. Look, if you get at Walmart, you get in the line that I'm in, you know you're in the slowest line in the store. Yesterday, my wife and I went to get gas, Sam's. And just so happened, she was driving. She pulled in, and there was two cars ahead of us and then two at the pump. And the car up at the front pulled out. I thought, okay, one of you two up here, get up there. Get up there. They never did. They just sat. And I thought, man, people. But that's not the good part. When those other one finally moved, those two moved up. And the one in front stopped at the right place, got out, you know. But I was watching, and I said, have they ever got out of the car? No. They still weren't in there. The lady that was in front of us, she's out pumping gas, you know. And finally, the one up in front got out of the car. This lady in front of us, she filled up, pulled away. We filled up. I pumped, and I got through pumping and left. And that woman in front never pumped any gas. Now, had I gotten in the flesh, I got to have been mad. You know, and sometimes we do that. And maybe something unkind comes out of our mouth. But can I say this to you? You don't have to keep doing that. You don't have to keep doing that. You can stop. You can stop. Hey, if a curse word comes out, that don't mean you have to say, well, I give up. You know, I just can't help it. I'll just curse. No, you don't have to do that. You don't have to serve sin. You don't have to do that. You don't have to keep going back. You've been saved. God's fixed it. He's enabled you. He's enabled you. The Bible says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal. There's nowhere in there where any of those verses are just aimed at a select few. It's at every person that's saved. We do not have to go on in sin. We have a choice. We have a choice. If we want to, we can reckon ourselves dead unto sin. And I don't care what the sin is. We can reckon ourselves dead unto that sin. What a wonderful idea it is. Hey, I'm not bound anymore by that. I can, if you will, rise above it. But not only that, look at chapter 6, look at verse 9. Knowing that Christ being raised from the dead dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. Hey, but that means it doesn't have any more dominion over you either. Hey, this business of life, this business of being saved is saved forever. Saved forever. It is a done deal. Go back to John chapter 5, would you? John chapter 5. Y'all didn't look as excited about that as you should have, all right? John chapter 5. Won't you see the Bible, all right? Here's the Word of God. John chapter 5, look down, if you will, in verse 24. Here's the Lord Jesus Christ. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life if you hang on to it. Doesn't say any of that if in there. Aren't you glad? But we're passed from death unto life. And man, death hath no more dominion over us. We've been passed from death unto life. It's a done deal. Shall not come into condemnation. What a wonderful thing it is to know you're saved and know you're saved forever. Know you're saved. Not something you can lose. Not something you can misplace. Boy, it's something you've got it forever. I'm just telling you, we ought to be happy people, all right? Happy people. We could even go, man, we could go over and remind ourselves in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5, where the Bible said we're kept by the power of God. Kept by the power of God. Hey, if I had to keep it, it would be iffy. But I don't. I'm kept by the power of God. You're kept by the power of God. That salvation that's been given to you, man, it's forever. We don't have to serve sin anymore. You just don't have to do that. You don't have to be habitually in sin. I mean, whatever it is, you can conquer it if you'll reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin. But that's up to you, all right? We can do that. Boy, I'm going to tell you, that right there is a lot of reason to be happy. lot of reason to be happy. Then I want to talk to you about, hey, not only here, that's how you get happy because you get saved, but go back to Deuteronomy chapter 33, okay? Back to Deuteronomy chapter 33, and I want you to look down there in verse 29, and it says, happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee, O people saved by the Lord. Notice, the shield of thy help. The shield of thy help. Hey, you got good news. Happy people are shielded people. Happy people are shielded people. So what's that? All right, let's go to Psalm 91. Take the 91st Psalm, if you would. 91st Psalm. Notice what the Bible said. We're just looking at the Bible, trying to get you to realize you can be happy. And by the way, I believe you can stay happy. And the reason we can stay happy is because we're shielded, all right? We're shielded. Psalm 91, look at verse 1. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Hey, happy people are shielded. One of the things, we're shielded by truth. We're shielded by truth. You see, God gives us the truth, and that truth will keep us in the right path. And I said, you ought to be happy people because you're saved people. But you stay happy because we're shielded by the truth. We grab a hold of that truth, and that truth helps to keep us out of sin. We stick with the truth of the Word of God. You know, when I've always said, if you're ever in doubt about something, whether you should do it or not, check it out with the Word of God. Check it out with the Bible. You check these things out in the Word of God, and you'll be able to find out, hey, I need to stay away from that. I don't need to do that. Man, it's the truth, and the truth keeps me in that right path. Being in the right path shields you from so much destruction, shields you from so much harm and problems, and it'll keep you away from sin. Keep you away from sin. Our problem is so much of the time we think we got to go take a look at it, all right? We think we've just got to go look. Well, I don't want to get involved, but I just want to kind of see what there is to it. No, stay away. Stay away, all right? Just stay away. Man, I'll tell you, I don't go to the donut shop now. I like donuts. Donuts like me. But I don't go to the donut shop. I'm not going to swing by just to see if they're still making them the way they used to. I'm not going to swing by the donut shop just to see, man, does this place smell the way it used to smell? Not going to do that. My wife made cookies for the kids. There's a little Tupperware deal at the house. And I saw it laying on the counter. What is that? And I looked. Cookies. I didn't open it to smell them. I put them down. Stay away from them. Hey, God given us the Word of God. He's given us His book. So we know the truth. That truth can shield us from sin. All right? That truth shields us from sin. We take it, we read it, we know, all right? He says, thou shalt not, so let's don't. He says, thou shalt, so let's do. I mean, let's just take the truth. We can be shielded away from that sin if we'll stay in the truth. The truth helps us, all right? The truth helps us. Now, the devil always has somebody, though. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, all right? The devil always has somebody come along. It may be a friend. It may be a family member. It may be a smooth-talking salesman. But the devil always has somebody. So we find 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Hey, you can be shielded from that temptation. I don't mean by that you'll never be tempted, but that you're shielded from temptation's end. All right? We can be shielded from the end. You don't have to give in. You don't have to give in. I've said it before. Our problem is we don't look for that way out. We find ourselves in the clutches of temptation. I'm at home. Nobody else is there. And there's those chocolate chip cookies. Homemade chocolate chip cookies. But there is a way of escape. I don't just lean on the counter and stare longingly at those cookies. Well, of course not, preacher, but that's the way a lot of people do with sin. Temptation comes along, and instead of looking for the way out, I'm consumed. Here I am focused on that. And before long, I'm making an excuse to go ahead and try it. Abe, we didn't look for that way out, but God's given us that. We're shielded from it. You can escape, all right? You can escape. We get a hold of the truth of the Word of God. I'm a happy person because I've been born again. I've got an eternal salvation. I cannot lose it. It cannot be taken away from me. I do not have to be the servant of sin anymore. And I've got the truth. It can keep me and shield me from sin. Yep, it'll be presented to me, but I'm guaranteed there's a way out so I can keep being happy. I can keep being happy. You don't repeat the same mistakes, all right? You don't do that. You decide, I want to be happy. I'm going to stick with that. I'm going to stay away from that. I don't know about y'all, but I enjoy happy. Don't you? I enjoy happy. I do not like the guilt that comes when I sin. I do not like the guilt that comes when I sin. Do you? Don't like that. So what I want to do? Well, I want to look for that way of escape. God said it be there. I want to hang on, hug the truth, okay? You can be happy. Well, wait a minute. Go back to Psalm 91. Should have told you, stick your finger in there too, I guess. All right. Go back to Psalm 91. There are other things in life that kind of mess up our happiness, okay? But God said, hey, I got help for you there, all right? Psalm 91, look at verse 5. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Hey, we can be shielded, not only shielded by the truth and shielded from temptation, but we can be shielded from terror. We can be shielded from those things. Thank God you don't have to live in fear. People love the 23rd Psalm. And the psalmist said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. And you don't have to live in fear. It's hard to be happy when you're afraid. It is just hard to be happy when you're afraid. But we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to worry about it. We've got the assurance of God. He's going to take care of us. He said, you don't need to fear any evil. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Look, I've written in my notes this way. The child of God has peace before the storm. Child of God's got peace during the storm. And the child of God has peace after the storm. You don't have to be afraid. Just don't have to be afraid. Hey, there's going to be plenty of storms. Yes, there will. hey, there's plenty of them. They're going to come in life, but thank God I've got a shield. Thank God I don't have to be afraid. He shielded Israel from Pharaoh and Pharaoh's army. Don't you think he can take care of you? Don't you think he can do the same for you today? He can do. He's not challenged by that. He can take care of us. He can do the same thing. We're happy people. We're happy. Why? Because we're saved. Sins are forgiven. They're in the past. They're taken care of. I've got a home in heaven. I'm assured of it. Don't have to worry about losing it. Don't have to worry about that at all. But, hey, I can stay happy because I can get with the truth of the Word of God, and I can stay in that truth. That'll keep me away from sin. That'll keep me, it'll keep you away from temptation. But every now and then, temptation sneak up on you. But it's all right. You don't have to be afraid. There's a way out. There's a way out. Storm coming, preacher! You don't have to be afraid. He'll take care of you in the storm. He'll take care of you in the storm. I heard a guy preaching this afternoon. I was listening, and I really wasn't paying a whole lot of attention. But he got to this one part, and he said, when I'm with that guy, I think he's talking about it earlier in his life. He said, when I was with that guy, I was never afraid of anybody. You know, and I don't know who that somebody was. I told you I wasn't really paying attention. But it got to that. Hey, it's like when you were a kid. When I was a kid, if I was with Dad, I wasn't afraid of anybody. Dad's about 5'7", but I figured he could whoop anybody. He'd take care of me. I wasn't worried about it. Man, now I've got a Heavenly Father. I'm not worried. I'm not going to live in fear because He's promised me He'll take care of me. I don't want you to go back to Deuteronomy 33. I didn't lose your place, I hope, all right? And he said, O people, saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, we're saved, we've got a shield. And then it says, and who is the sword of thy excellency? Hey, I want to tell you, we've got a sword. Happy people have a sword. Happy people have a sword. We're not left defenseless in this old world. We don't have to worry about it. When tempted, the Lord Jesus Christ quoted scripture to the devil to answer him. And it was the Word of God. You and I have that Word of God. We've got all of it. We've got the Old Testament and the New Testament. We've got the complete revealed will of God. That scripture comes in handy. It'll answer the critic. It'll answer the critic. Sometimes we think that what we have to do is develop a marvelous argument. And let me just show you my great reasoning power. When truthfully, what we need to do is just take people to the Word of God. Here's what the Bible says. You said, well, what if they don't believe it? That's their problem. That's their problem. I can't make anybody believe it, but I can take them to the Word of God. So why do you feel the way? Because the Bible says this. Why do you take stand it? Because the Bible says this. It's the Word of God, all right? Scripture will answer the critic, and we need to be willing to point him to that Scripture. Scripture also answers the contemptuous, and there's a lot of people that are contemptuous of God's people today. There's some atheists that are very, very vocal, very antagonistic. And boy, they have nothing but contempt for believers. I was reading yesterday, I think it was, where Ellen DeGeneres, I think that's her name, it's real close to that, said, and she's now living in England, and she said that her and her partner are worried because Baptist people are working so hard to end same-sex marriage. And I can't help it. I read that and I thought, I didn't know we were doing that good. I didn't know we were doing that good. Hey, she holds us in contempt. But it's because we believe the Bible. See, I've got a book, all right? I've got a book and we've got a sword. That sword can be used. Take your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, would you? 2 Corinthians chapter 10. man, God's given us something. We can be happy people. Even when we're attacked, we can be happy people. 2 Corinthians 10, verse 4, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Our weapons are mighty through God. So what is that weapon? Take your Bible to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, if you will. Look, it is our weapon. We've got a sword that we can use, all right? Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12, for the word of God is quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Hey, this old book, it'll slice and dice. It'll do the job. It will do the job. We've got it. We don't have to worry. And once again, still talking about happy people. We're happy because we've got a sword we can wield. At my house, in the interest of teaching our kids, grandkids, to be aggressive and play violently, my wife went and bought them all these styrofoam swords. I said, make sure there's enough for me to have one. Because they will gang up sometimes on me. One of them starts going, and then they start calling the other one, help me, come help me. And we get after it with those styrofoam swords. We go to it, all right? And man, you know, we're slicing and dicing and cutting, smacking upside the head. He said, preacher, you shouldn't do that. How are your kids going to learn to be violent if you don't teach them, all right? How are they going to learn to fight back, all right? Hey, we just go to it, have a good time with it, all right? Hey, can I say this to you? You and I do not have to run and hide because of critics. We don't have to cower down and think, well, can't defend myself. Yeah, you can. God's given us His Word. God's given us His Word. And the best thing you learn to do is just give it to people. Just give it to people. Open it up and say, here's what the Bible said. Never forget years ago watching this specials on television. And there were preachers on there. And Jerry Falwell was on there. And somebody came, somebody was kind of attacking him, and they said, well, you know, according to your plan of salvation, oh, Brother Falwell said, wait a minute, I don't have a plan of salvation. He said, the Bible gives it. I don't have it, it's just one the Bible gives. You know, and I like that. Hey, it's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. That's the book. Hey, you don't have to be afraid to open it up and go for it, all right? You don't have to do that. I think it's good to be tactful. I think it's good to be wise as serpents, the Bible said, harmless as doves. But don't be afraid to take the book out and use it. Man, that's one of the best things you can do. That's why you ought to get it in your heart. You ought to memorize it. So if somebody comes along, you can say, but the Bible says. But the Bible says. The Bible says. Hey, I want to ask you, are you happy? Are you happy? You should be. You're a child of God. You should be. There's a child of God. You're a child of God. There's a reason you've been saved, okay? You've been born again. You've trusted Him as your Savior. Hey, maybe the reason you're not happy is you've laid aside that shield. You've gotten away from the truth in your life. You've kind of taken some detours out there. And you've ignored what the Bible says, and you've gotten away from that shield. You're not protected by that anymore. And boy, the temptation comes hard and fast. Hard to ward it off. Hey, you need to get back in the truth. Boy, you don't need to be unhappy in life. Just take and do what. You say, well, I'm not. My happiness is not because of me. It's because of somebody else. Let me say this to you. Somebody else ought not to be able to touch your happiness. Somebody else should not be able to touch your happiness. There ought to be within you a desire to stick with that, all right? Hey, but you get away from the Lord, you get away from your shield, you're out there alone in this whole world, yep, you're going to be in a mess. You're going to be in a mess. Maybe you've neglected that sword, okay? Maybe it's gotten just a little bit dull. Hey, I want you to be happy. I want you to be happy. I go places and, you know, we say things and we're not really caring about the answer. People say, how you doing? That's just a common greeting. Man, I always tell them, I'm having a big time. I'm just having a big time. And they're not used to hearing that. And they think I'm kidding. But I'm telling the truth. I'm having a big time. I'm enjoying life, man. I'm enjoying life. I'm enjoying life in spite of the fact I can't go to the donut shop. But I'm still enjoying life, okay? Still enjoying life. Yep, right now can't eat chicken and dumplings. I can eat the chicken, but hold the dumplings, all right? Man, I have to stay away from some things. Well, ate something the other day, I thought it'd be safe. Man, that was a mistake. Blood sugar went. But okay, can't eat that. But I don't tell you, I'm still happy. Still happy. Why? Well, I'm still saved. I'm still trying to get in the truth and keep away. Look, I've said it before. I don't like to be unhappy. I don't like the guilt that comes from sin. So I want to stay in the truth so I don't have that guilt. That guilt takes away that happiness. Stay after the truth. Stay after that sword. Stick with it. Make it. If you're not happy tonight, the altar's here. You come. Heavenly Father, I pray you to help us. Lord, help us see the truth of the Word of God. We do not have to be unhappy people. The Israelites should have been and could have been happy. Lord, here we are, saved people, living in the day of grace. Apart from the law, we don't have to keep that. Surely, Lord, we can be happy people. And Lord, if we're not, would you just help us to truthfully examine ourselves to see why not? And then, Lord, do what we should. Do what we should. Lord, I believe that we can be happy, and if we aren't, it's our fault. Help us tonight, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together, if you would. I want to sing page 401, Only Trust Him. Only Trust Him. Oh, if you need to come, use the altar tonight, all right? Hey, don't be afraid to come because somebody say, well, people think I ain't happy. Because you said, preacher, if you're not happy, come. Well, you can still come if you're happy, but you may have a burden.